Wait, this is a game? Monster Crunch Battle? Monster Crunch. The Breakfast Battle Game. Why did I not know that?
It might be fun. Is it for all systems or...
Oh no, it's a board game.
Nope, not fun anymore.
First things first, when I wake with my wallet at, I'm close to the cake. Got a dream with my dollar at, I deem that the green in my garden keep growing. Get more green at a whole home smelling like a bakery. Gotta eat like I gotta have a cake disease. I stay laced with the force and the fake.
I'm gonna get briefly into Tales from the Hood 2. Kid. No, you put it on. You watch your tablet.
I was gonna say it for the car so I don't fall asleep.
No, that'll put you to sleep.
You'll really go to sleep then. I'm gonna be talking about adult issues over here, okay?
Okay.
I'm gonna be talking about stuff that gives you nightmares.
Like going to work.
Like chicken feet.
Thank you. Hold on. No, thank you.
Can you hear me talk about chicken feet?
No.
You haven't seen the video, my kid runs from chicken feet. It's kind of hilarious.
Hey,
all right.
I thought you were going to say.
Okay. All right. I'm done talking to you. For right now. All right. Tales from the Hood 2. Lamb, you haven't seen this yet.
I have not.
And it's nothing like, you can't see it coming from down the street. You know, like, there's nothing that's like, oh, man, Tales in the Hood 2. We don't have Clarence Williams doing the...
voiceover? With the intro?
Yeah. It's... Oh, my goodness, kid. That would be great. Here. All right. All right. Jeez, gotta cut all this stuff out. Gotta edit so much.
Fix it in post.
Be quiet. All right, so Tales from the Hood 2. We are talking about, all the stuff that... Okay, so it's... No, take that off of there. That's a machine.
Yeah, that's not a good place to
put. Don't do that. On the floor. I hate having a parent while podcasting.
Might force you to actually fix it in post.
Yeah, for real. Okay, so Tales from the Hood, we got the old one with the anthology. It's Tales from the Dark Side in the Hood, Unabashed Violence and Gore. So that comes up, of course. Same old thing, it's very, very, what am I looking for? It's very campy. Everybody who, you can tell they got like really well, they're not like really, very hood people that they got to play this role. Like everybody is trying really, really hard. So... It's their hood acting isn't as convincing, but it's fine. It's fine. It also dances in between trying to be Tales from the Hood and Black Mirror, but it's like Black People Mirror because a lot of it is it goes pretty heavy handed with some of the social justice issues.
Social justice is a new thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is a new film. And so you can see all the effects of Black Lives Matter and Me Too and just a lot of stuff that pops up that we have in our headlines nowadays that are, forced their way into this film, in this anthology, really. So it's an hour and a half. It's... okay. There we go.
We're repositioning.
All right. It's an hour and a half. Yeah, so, you know, the stories vary from, you know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes depending, and then they have the things spliced in between. So, okay, Keith David, legendary Keith David voice actor. You've seen him in a ton of things, but you probably know him by the way he speaks, and so he was Goliath and Gargoyles, did the Navy commercials. You know who Keith David is, okay? So he plays the storyteller Sims. I'm also going to not give everyone's name, because just in case you do want to watch this, seeing as how this comes out on Halloween or near Halloween, you know, it's still scary season, so you might want to check it out. Maybe. It's fun. It's fun if you know, you're not sitting here trying to take everything seriously. It doesn't take itself that seriously until there's one story which we'll get to. Anyway, so he's commissioned to come in and tell stories to this intuitive law enforcement system called the Robo Patriot. And so the idea is that the Patriot not only learns from things that have happened, it has an algorithm to like learn as it goes along to kind of analyze the law and weigh exactly whatever's happening against what's in the law books. So it's just supposed to have all this stuff in it already, to where it can react to if you jaywalk. It's like, oh, hey, you're jaywalking. Or it can pick up. If you've seen Psycho Pass, it's basically a living robot Psycho Pass. So, you kind of have to go on a leap of faith, have a leap of faith to just kind of go along with whatever's happening. Then there's this ashy white dude named Dumas Beach. So there's a pun there at play. But he goes out of his way to be hated. Everything out of his mouth is either racist, sexist, or greedy capitalist. He's talking about keeping black people in jail and making money off of it, like unabashedly, like not trying to hide it from anyone, even though the person that he has talking to his machine is black. And there are like two or three female people, workers on his staff that he's just going and just groping at all times. So he just goes out of his way to make us hate him. First story is called Good Golly with the Golly G's, old racist puppets that the white character Audrey is really into for whatever reason. She has a black friend that I'm not gonna name, and her brother, which I didn't bother naming, and they all go into the Museum of Negrosity, which, out of all the other words that I've ever heard to disparage blackness, Negrosity is just like, that's like basement low for me. And I regularly use the term niggardry, but Negrosity is just like, wow. Audrey's acting is laughably bad. Like, again, they work really hard to make you hate who you're supposed to hate. But she does this thing where she has like these pouty lips and baby talks, like everything. And she's baby talking the actual dolls. And her acting, and this is going to sound weird, but when you see it, it won't, because her acting is just like Riley Reid in a porno. Like the entire, it is like the entire thing is like, this really feels like porn acting. And like, yeah, she's going out of her way to like try to sound like, it's gross, like the way they do it. And you know, like just the way the dialogue goes, you know that somebody's going to end up having sex in the thing. And when you find out who, and the ramifications of the sex itself, you wonder, like, where, what else can this movie do from here? You know, so it's just like, yeah, it's a lot. And it happens in the first maybe 10, I'm sorry, in the first half hour of what you're watching. So it's just, it goes there. I won't tell the comeuppance because that's, of course, that's the big major thing when we talk about, especially the short anthology, you know, these short stories that they do in this. So that one was called Good Golly. The next one, and then they did another scene with Keith David and Dumas Beach. Okay, and you know, they, of course, they go in between these stories and they're like, oh yeah, that was a good one, tell me another one. And so he tells them another yarn about this one's called The Medium. So some street toughs are beating up a former pimp who reportedly has $5 million stashed away somewhere. He says that he's going to use it to uplift the community, and they don't want to hear it at all. They want the $5 million. So they beat him up real, real bad. And he ends up triggering one because he says something really all the way out of the way, but the guy ends up killing him. So he kills the pimp. And the pimp is the only one who knows where the money is. So, you know, wasted effort. Until one of the street thugs sees a television medium who can contact the dead from beyond the grave. And so, you know, things take their natural progression. They go and they find the medium in his house and they force him to have a seance to the guy to continue to question him about the $5 million. Only the thing is, the medium can't talk to the dead. So hilarity ensues. Yeah, but you know, things happen.
Of course.
Okay. And then they cut back to another story, and the next story is Date Night, where a guy meets a chick on Tinder, tells her to bring a friend. He's gonna bring a friend. They all meet up. They all start playing. They play Cards Against Humanity.
Which I found is really not a date night kind of game.
They were going for it. It was working in this scene. Like, okay, these girls were all about it. They also lied about being Hollywood producers.
Ah.
One of them says that he, oh God, who did he? He said he said that they said they worked for Marvel. Actually, they said they worked for the MCU.
Oh God.
And that this one guy says that, yeah, I was the one who picked Chris Pratt. So, you know, yeah, so that, and the girls, they go along with it. And the girls are giving up rhythm. Like, they're like into it. They're here. Like, they're like, yeah. So even if they thought like maybe they were going to sleep with these guys because, you know, they're Hollywood producers or whatever, they were, you know what I'm saying? They were receptive. They were like, you know, flirty and fun and making out and whatever else. But even though they were obviously DTF, these bros still felt the need to Cosby their drinks up. And they give them, the girl drinks the drink and she says, mine tastes funny. And promptly passes out. So they drag the girls up to the room and decide that they're going to, they take the girls upstairs, put them side by side in the bed. Because they're going to Cosby their unconscious bodies and record it. So, of course, here comes the twist. So they pull out their phone. They had a tripod, but they went to the girl's house. So, like, they just had a tripod on stash. Like, they just, I don't know. They just brought one with them. Because apparently this is something that they regularly did. To no one's surprise, when they looked through the camera, no girls. They had them stripped down to their underwear, and when they looked through the phone, they just saw underwear. And then the underwear floated up, and they looked, and they were vampires. And so,
this
yeah.
This is how I thought this night was going to go.
But. Yeah, well, I thought we were just going to get away with criminal sexual conduct and just, you know, ride off into the sunset with our video. So, you know, that happened. And so we come out of that. Again, you know, I'm not going to give you everything. Because it is, it is nothing that you would not be able to predict is going to happen, but it's all there. And so they did the classic line. He said, "Nobody understands shit." And of course, because this is Tales from the Hood, nobody else besides Clarence Williams should deliver this line except for Keith David. And Keith David says, "They don't understand the shit." Yes, the shit. So we got that line. He kept saying it, and he kept leaning. And that was the great. That was the problem. That was the best part of this movie is Keith David, of course, because he's the best part of most anything. But he really leaned into this role where it was supposed to just be. He was just so over the top, and a lot of other people were trying to play it straight, and it was like, no, just. You know, just do the thing. And he was like the only one. And so that's what kind of confused me about the identity of this film. But because it seemed like everybody was having such a great time, just like, you know, being a part of the project, I won't go too deep into it because, again, there it wasn't that kind of movie. Like, there's no need to deep dive and tear it apart and try to just know that for me, it just was all over the place. And so, which brings us to, what is this, the fourth? Yeah, the fourth one, The Sacrifices. And, okay, I love how she laughs when I say sacrifices. Yeah, so we get the shit line and he keeps saying it and he keeps yelling it and it's great. The Sacrifices. So this is where this one was kind of a bummer. The others were, you know, because the first one was Black Lives Matter. The second one was good. I liked it. I appreciated it. Date Night was, you know, a punishment dream for the Me Too movement, which I would be all for. And then The Sacrifices takes us two timelines. First, we see a black councilman who wants to get this racist mayor elected to the governor's office and close down a poll. So he's really Kanye in here. And he's the mayor is trying to close down two voting polls, of course, in black neighborhoods. And he's pretty racist, like, you know, after, you know, they go back and forth with it, but he's just like, oh, I'm just the black guy's like, I'm just a Republican, and so everybody else should be you know, anyway, you know, those types. Yeah. They try to give us that, but what happens is he is also married to a white woman, and she's pregnant. They had a miscarriage before, so they were really beating us over the head with that point. But she was having bad dreams. And the bad dreams take place in the other timeline that we're dealing with, in which a young black boy was arrested in the middle of the night and taken away by cops to a basement to be tortured. And so we kept going back and forth with that. And so the struggles of this black councilman who was trying to get this racist mayor elected to governor, and just kind of, you know, chopping that up. Now, what started to happen was that the wife was feeling as though she was saying that she felt like the baby was getting smaller. And so it was like, yeah, it got really weird on that. It was dope, though. Like, this was actually a really good story. And so then there was a spirit outside, I must have looked away while I was typing because there was just a couple of things that I missed. But so we get another crazy old black man that shows up in this story. Crazy. in quotations, because everything he was saying was true. So he's yelling at the councilman that he needs to respect the sacrifices, respect the sacrifices, respect the sacrifices. And he's saying that if you don't, you're going to lose everything. He was like, oh, I don't want to lose the baby. He's like, no, you're going to lose everything. Like, you know, your position, your wife, all this stuff is going to go to shit because you aren't respecting the sacrifices. So with the baby getting smaller, there was they called the doctor to come out to the house, and they knew the doctor, and he's like, yeah, I've never seen anything like this. And then, because they had just seen the doctor previously, and everything was fine with him, and so he comes out and he's like, yeah, doc, you gotta, you know, help our baby. And he was like, wait a minute, this is your baby? You put your demon seed in her? And he leaves, like, he's like furious. That is like, wait a minute, but you know that we're married, you know? He's like, and so then she starts yelling rape. It's crazy. And so he goes outside. His mother goes outside, and things just start getting like increasingly racist by the minute. And I won't spoil this because it was kind of cool the way they did it. But there's the boy who was being tortured in the basement is a historical figure, and I won't say who. But he appears before him and he's like, yo, we made the sacrifices. And then more people from the civil rights movement who lost their lives, like actual historical figures, start coming up. Of course, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King shows up. Surprisingly had no words. Like, the dude looked like King, though. He's like a really skinny version of Dr. Martin Luther King. Well, I'm like, damn, they get his great grandson or something. Like, this dude looks really like Martin Luther King. I know when I was in college, Dr. King would appear to me after I had like spent the night in a girl's room and missed a class or something. So for it's always really, really important when Martin Luther King shows up. But yeah, things got super racist, and it was things that he had to do in order to change things back. It's actually pretty interesting, so I don't want to give away too much of anything of what happened there. The sacrifice is actually a pretty dope story, especially for the way they did it in this, you know, kind of just... The stories were really varied, which was good. It was a nice variety of the stories, to where it wasn't like they were just all dumb or they were all just over the top goofy. But for everything that we got in that, the last episode, the last story of Robo Hell, is where we finally get to see the the Robo Patriot go into be applied, because they debuted it in front of the media. And so Dumas Beach gets up in front of everybody and starts talking about how great the system is and how it can learn. And the system, the robot holds up his hand and he says, there are illegals in the crowd. And so like they get up and leave. He's like, there are people who have, petty larceny on there. He's like, you. So all these people get up and leave, like, as they're being identified. And so he turns to Dumas Beach and calls him, of course, what we've all been waiting on somebody to say, dumbass bitch. That's like a vulgar dad joke.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. And then he decides that because, again, he's been given the authority to be judge, jury, and executioner by Mr. Beach, because he's surprised, he's like, privately owned RoboCop law enforcement, starts hunting him down, and he's shooting at him, and gets in. So of course Beach gets in the car with Keith David's character Sims, and they're riding, driving real, real fast, driving away. And this guy is just still saying like racist stuff, and Keith David is just laughing because, of course, turns out, spoiler alert, he's the devil. And Dumas Beach has been shot and killed a long time ago. And they turn around, they look, and there's his dead body in this hearse, and he's driving him to hell. They get out. And he gets pulled out by the thugs from the earlier video, the earlier medium video. Of course, everybody makes a return, and Beach gets pulled out and dragged to hell. And, Keith David just laughs and laughs and laughs really loud and hard.
Because they pay him by the cackle.
Absolutely. It felt like he was being paid by the cackle. So that was, story-wise, that's Tales from the Hood 2. It's fun. It's fun. If you're sitting around drinking, having a good time, you put this on, you know, you got some food or something, you got people to put, like, hate watch it with or joke and laugh about it with. It's a 40 Acres and a Mule project.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So, it's fun. If you're looking like, oh, man, I want to be intrigued, or, oh, I want to be scared, you're not going to be scared by it. You're not going to be in, you know, it's... I mean, there's something for everybody, I think, in this story. But definitely you benefit from it more if you just let your guard down, try to turn your brain off, and just enjoy what it is, because it's that kind of story. The overarching story and the four or five smaller stories, it's engaging, it's interesting, it's entertaining, and that's what you want. But then it tries to make you think, and it's like, let's not. You know, it gets a little heavy-handed, a little preachy, again, with the making of Beach. So I don't get the identity of what it's trying to be, or what it, you know, if it's like, well, we're just trying to do everything, then it'd be like, okay, I guess you are. But am I going to rate it? No. It'd be like rating four or five different stories. So, and just trying to like clump them all together. So, you know, it's just trying to like clump a rating all together for like four or five. It's like trying to rate an entire film festival, you know, so we're not going to do that. Should you watch it? Sure. If it's Halloween, watch it, check it out and have a good time. Other than that, boot it. It's still kind of fun. I wanted to do something else.
Killed that one.
I'm totally not gonna do anything else. What am I missing? Social meds,
yeah.
ILA_POW on both Twitter and Instagram. It's like a podcast or whatever. On Facebook. We're in other places. I love how.
YouTube.
Facebook, Instagram. YouTube, yeah. IG.
Twitter.
The Twitter. You can get all of my problematic and social justice warrior tweets on there.
Fighting
everybody about everything. And I'd be like, I can argue a point that I just made over here against this person. I just said the same thing I said over there. I just want all the smoke. other than that, if you're in the Southie area by the time this comes out, or if you're looking for a good place to go trick-or-treating, go to Southie. The squad is going to be there. It's going to be, as the children say, lit. We got a plan. Oh, that's the other thing I want to tell you, Mike. There's a guy who like shoots air into people's face like every year in this area over in Southie, and Jada is plotting revenge, and we want to silly string the shit out of this guy in his chair.
Let's go to Amazon, see how much silly string is.
Well, they got it at the dollar store.
Yeah, if they have it at the dollar store, that means it's super cheap on Amazon.
Yeah, it'd have to be like a quarter. Now.
There's a 12-pack for $37.
No.
Ooh, there's the glowing one.
Okay, maybe. You got me. All right.
That doesn't make sense. Oh, that's the glow in the dark one. The 12-pack is 36.
Ah, okay.
But the 24-pack is 35.
Yeah. By the time this guy, because I know everybody watches Isle of Powell, by the time this guy sees this, I'm not going to release this until we've already silly stringed the guy. String him up, is what I say. We're going to string him up. Hey, boy, we're going to string you up. It was like, yo, chill. And then we just spray silly string on them. They're just a gang of children who are definitely going to be too excited that they're just to do it the right way, like to like run up on them. So we're going to need MJ. Yeah, we're going to need MJ there because like the other kids are just going to be so hype that they're going to like press the button sideways and the silly string is going to get on one of them. So, yeah, we got to get this guy because he sits in a chair and he has a bucket of candy. You come reach into the bucket and then he's like, and he's like, and he's been doing it for a million years, getting away with it. And we've decided that we've had enough. So by the time you guys see this, we will have already gotten this guy.
Will we be recording this?
We will definitely be recording that. When we do it. So we're going live on that. That guy is toast. And till then, love, trust, and belief, y'all. Peace.
Video's off. Audio stop.
Crack a window in between for the morning breeze. Of course we eat, but tonight's the main course is me. So when I leave, she say text me. Boy, you don't you ever forget me. Sexy, boy, sexy. I'm too sexy for my shirt. Sexy. And so is you, so get undressed and go to work. Sexy. I know you tables come get messy.